I'm Katya Gordon in the studio on the phone with Greg Ruberg, our CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital, in his weekly check-in with us about COVID-19. Thank you, Greg, for checking in, as always.
Good morning. You're welcome.
Good morning. We have several questioners from listeners this morning, but let's just start with the big news. I don't know if we'd call it fortunate or unfortunate, but certainly not unexpected. There is now a positive test, a person who has COVID here in Lake County. Do you want to tell us whatever you can tell us about that?
Yeah, so we knew, as we've talked over the last number of weeks or month, is we expected a positive test to come up in Lake County at any time. And I think over the last week or two, I guess I was thinking that any day or any week that we would get that notice that there was a positive test. That, you know, we felt that there has been COVID in the county throughout this process. But again, as we tested more, and it just by probability, we were going to get that positive test, which did happen on Wednesday, the 6th of May. I would like to recognize, I think, our partners at Lake County Public Health and Emergency Management and Health and Human Services did an excellent job coordinating that response as far as getting the information, had a very thorough communications plan and rolled out that press release, which I think couldn't have gone any better for Lake counties.
Good. That's good to hear. And really, because of the privacy, we aren't supposed to know and don't know where they are or anything. We just know that it's here and that the process is in place to trace any kind of contact they've had, et cetera.
That is correct. So when a positive test is identified either by a private lab such as Mayo Clinic or Hennepin, like we've talked about before, that Lakeview uses, or the MDH lab, which is being used for congregate care facilities, they reach out. MDH then is contacted. The Minnesota Department of Health reaches out to our local public health officials and coordinates a public health response. And that includes interviewing of that individual, doing the contact tracing, determining the need for essential services. That information is protected. It's confidential information, so that name is not released out or where they live specifically, again, to protect the privacy of the person who tested positive.
Great. All right, let's move on to some listener questions. Here's one about the very relevant to us in Two Harbors with lots of trails, lots of people out there in the fresh air. The question is, if people are outside walking on a trail, even if 6 feet apart, should people other than the lead wear masks? People will be walking through and inhaling the cloud of exhale of the person in front of them, unless it's really windy. Is that a concern?
So this is a complicated question, and I'll put my disclaimer out right away that I am not a physician and I'm not an infectious disease physician, but I've done a lot of reading on this and I've been part of a lot of meetings and phone calls and education on this. So when we talk about COVID-19, it's spread by droplets. And so we implement droplet precautions to really prevent the spread of that. And what droplets are, so for example, when you're ill with COVID, you develop respiratory symptoms, and that can be things you know like coughing or sneezing where you're expelling droplets out into the air. And so when you think about a droplet has a certain size that it gets, you know, spread by coughing or sneezing, but it eventually drops to the ground or settles out. It's not airborne, and we'll talk about airborne in a second. So when we talk about, again, COVID spreading, it's that spread of those droplets by a sick individual or somebody who is asymptomatic but has the virus. And so what the precautions that we follow are what we call droplet transmission precautions. And again, we know that transmission happens from people being in close contact when they're sick within 1 meter. And so all of this talk that we've had about social distancing is to get people spread apart, you know, far apart beyond that 1 meter.
Yeah.
The whole concept of cloth face coverings is to catch those droplets when a asymptomatic or a symptomatic person with a virus coughs or sneezes so they don't get spread out into the air and settle out or drop. The second way that COVID is spread is by contact. And so we use contact precautions, meaning if I had COVID and touched a phone in my office and somebody else came and used my phone and I had the virus on there, you could get it into your eyes, nose, or mouth, and again, get COVID. So I think the question about the trail is again, a complicated one. I would say, I think there's always risk. So if you're following somebody 6 feet behind them and they're coughing and sneezing and have COVID and the wind is blowing that back into the eyes, mouth, or nose of the person behind, there's a risk of getting COVID that way. If the person does not have respiratory symptoms, the wind is blowing off to the side or there's no wind, again, we know that we think that the experts think that COVID is not airborne, so it doesn't float in the air for you to walk into later on. You airborne precautions are, again, those that are transmitted and kind of float in the air. So smallpox, SARS that we've heard about, things like measles, TB, those are airborne diseases or viruses. And so this is a little bit different. So my advice would be, because if you're concerned, wear a cloth face covering. Don't go hiking with somebody who's coughing and sneezing and expelling droplets.
Right. So I guess the trick is to really realize there is a difference between air, per se, and droplets. And we're really worried about the droplets, hence all the focus on contact points and masks.
That's correct.
Yes. Thank you. That was very clarifying.
The other caveat that I would add to this, just if people have read about this and I think it relates, is there are certain things that we do in healthcare that are called aerosolizing procedures. And so, like, when we intubate a patient or we do bronchoscopies or nebulizers or even CPR, that's when you see people wearing the N95s in healthcare. That's what that is used for. So we aerosolize droplets during those procedures. Again, but that's different. We have a lot of really, really good precautions around that. We test and all of that. So I think that's, people have probably read about why use N95 versus a surgical mask and why is that different.
Ah, very good. All right, let's move on to the next question, which is really more a preventative one. Given the increasing data that this virus attacks us at our vulnerabilities, chronic conditions, or compromised immunity, and that our ability to weather the disease is so closely linked to our overall health, does it make sense to focus on opening up and encouraging the use of naturopathic clinics, which do a great job of increasing overall health and immunity, and other stress-relieving avenues? And then there's a bunch of those camps, exercise groups, support groups. And I think that's the essence of the question.
So a couple of comments overall. As I agree 100% that we need strong immune systems to really fight off COVID and many other viruses and bacteria and those kind of things. We know that physical health and mental health are both equally important. So any type of exercise where you're working your heart and lungs safely and appropriately is good for you. And so we're always encouraging walking and exercise and while maintaining social distancing. We also know that mental health is just as important because of all the stress and anxiety and depression resulting in layoffs and job issues and financial challenges are having an impact. And we're seeing that in the healthcare setting. The challenge comes into is how we do this. I think we're a little bit too early still. They're talking about groups back together doing this because, again, there's risk as people may be asymptomatic and could potentially be touching things that people then touch their face and specifically nose, mouth, and eyes. I would recommend that people do those physical activities, and if you need to do it in a group, maybe look at creative ways to do it over video, using Skype and Zoom and FaceTime and those kind of things if you need that support from somebody else. The actual clinic concept is an interesting one because we know that overall wellness goes beyond, again, physical health. Now we added mental health. I think nutrition is important. I think all of those things are all played a very important role. And I think as we learn more and more about COVID and we can, control the transmission of it, I think we're going to see a focus around public health, looking at how do we keep our population healthier to start with. So when we do have a COVID or an influenza or I think even heart disease and all of those things, that we're taking a little bit more of a proactive approach to addressing those. And again, Katya, you and I have talked a lot about our building project at Lakeview and our strategy for the future.
Yes.
Is really shifting away from kind of this traditional medical care where we just treat you when you're ill to one to trying to get the community healthier as a whole. And so we're really focused on that. And again, I think this COVID situation or this pandemic has just reinforced that that's the right approach for a community or a county or a state to do.
Yeah, so it's given you a great, I'm sure, it's sort of like the why behind why you have such a focus on wellness. And so then the question just becomes how to try to instill as much of that as possible while still dealing with the pandemic as it's happening. Is that sort of a fair way to put it?
That's right. Yep, we have to do very, very proactive things now and active things to address this and keep people healthy, but again, plan for the future because we're going to see other challenges to health and wellness in the future, so we need to be prepared.
All right. One final question, Greg, about the testing. We know there are a growing number of tests for people who are symptomatic in Lake County, actual COVID tests, but then there's also a test a PCR test, which is also serology testing, which is about knowing whether you have the antibodies, whether you've actually already been exposed and maybe unbeknownst to you had COVID. What can you tell us about the development of that?
So I'll start with the PCR testing and the community testing, which we talked about last week for really the first time. So Lake County does now have a process for testing symptomatic patients, and that is Lakeview Hospital and Clinic are one part of that. We're also using our system, which is the triage line and the respiratory clinic up at Miller Creek in Hermantown. And so we are testing more symptomatic patients, and again, that's back to my earlier comment, is we expected to see a positive test at some point as we test more. And so one of our challenges last week, and really the week before, was a limited supply of testing materials, the swabs and the reagents. We've been able to get more of that. We feel comfortable that we've got an appropriate inventory of those testing kits to, again, test symptomatic patients in the community, test pre-op for surgery and procedures. Again, all of those precautions will help keep patients safe, and that's working well. We continue to test more people. So the PCR testing, I think, statewide, we're still somewhat limited on supplies, but we're working very hard, and Lake County is well supplied right now, so we'll keep doing that. The serology testing, as you mentioned, is a different type of testing. That is not it's not used to determine who has the virus at the time and who may be spreading it. It's really designed to identify who has had COVID and recovered from it and basically been exposed. So it's looking at the antibodies in the blood to determine that you've been exposed to COVID. And it goes around all this concept of how do we build immunity and vaccines. Right now, we do not have the ability at Lakeview or in Lake County to do serology testing. There are the bigger systems like our St. Luke's and some of the Essentia and others are working with Mayo Clinic and other partners to do that serology testing. And that's going to be an important piece as we control this transmission of COVID in our communities, is to go start looking at who's been exposed and what response did they have, and really kind of that overall approach or addressing COVID-19. So it's important. It's still a work in progress.
Okay. And I'm sure we'll discuss this in future as more and more people are exposed, so that test becomes a bigger deal, I guess, in an area where maybe lots and lots of people have been exposed, or maybe not. We just don't know. So, great. What else? That's all for our listener questions. Do you have any final comments before we close out for the week?
Yeah, I guess my final comment would be around this, really the concept of reopening our community and reopening the state. And people have read a lot about this and seen the governor's press conferences. So we're taking a very methodical approach to adding services back specifically to Lakeview. So we're looking at things that are essential. The governor opened up surgery and procedures for us to do, and we're being very selective in which ones we do and how we do those, again, using COVID testing to screen, using the appropriate PPE or personal protective equipment. We've got a good supply of that here. And again, I think that the community needs to be confident, should be confident, that Lakeview, we're disinfecting appropriately, we're making good decisions on what we do, and I feel very comfortable being in our facilities, both hospital and clinic. I feel very comfortable receiving services here or having my family receive those services. And you're seeing that in healthcare across the state as those things open back up. I would encourage people to keep using good judgment, so avoiding large groups of people. You can go out and do the things that are allowed, but again, wear the face covering, wash your hands, just kind of those common sense principles now that we've been hearing about, I think is important, because we know COVID is here. We've known it's been here for quite some time.
Yes. And, as far as, all your decisions on what to open and what to not open or how to open at Lakeview, I just have got to believe that you're just not going to make everybody happy. So, Greg, thank you for being a leader in this tumultuous time and continuing to work as best you can, as I can hear everybody is, to make the best decisions with the information you have. And, there's so much in your hands, and it's a huge responsibility. So thank you for all you do.
You're welcome. And people are always welcome to reach out to me if they have specific questions that we haven't addressed here or have any concerns regarding Lakeview or the services that we provide.
All right. And we will check in next time we're able to check in. Thank you, Greg. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks. Yes, you too.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Greg Ruberg, director of the Lakeview Clinic and Hospital.